Okay, we're here with the Mystery Playhouse tonight, and hello everyone, and welcome to Mystery Playhouse, and you're not going to believe it, we have a very special guest here tonight, and sorry about the little Hulk intro there, but I hope you did enjoy that brief excerpt when the Hulk, you know, takes on the Abomination. But anyway, here we go with our special guest here in the studio tonight. It's a director of film, he's a comedian, he's a star of motion pictures you may be familiar with, and this is a real unexpected surprise, and I'm not even sure what he's doing here.
Well, Ken, I was passing through from Atlanta, where I'm lining up my upcoming picture about life in the South, or lack thereof. It's a story of intolerance and racism, two characteristics that the South alone personifies more than any other part of this country. I'm scanning out locations for the lynching scene, and Auburn, just by nature of its name, seems to be the perfect place. In fact, the name is so ominous, I'm thinking about turning the scene into a burn at the stake scene, if I could just figure out a way to finagle permits from the fire department. But they're very hostile to New Yorkers. They see us as some sort of outside agitators. I don't know why.
Now, what's the title of this project you're working on?
Well, Ken, I have a working title. I'm calling it To Kill a Meadowlark, but that's only if I can get Meadowlark from the Harlem Globetrotters to play the lead. I mean, I've got an all-star cast lined up. I really don't think you can resist. I'm starting with Gene Hackman as the evil town corrupt sheriff, and then the good guys are Bill Cosby and Whoopi Goldberg, and that fellow that played Toby in Roots, that Kunta Kinte fella. I can never remember his name. He's that token black man on Star Trek, the one with the air filter over his eyes. And what's his name? I can never remember.
I don't know, but I know who you mean. Now, is this film going to be colored or in black and white?
Well, both, actually. I'm going to have black and whites and coloreds in it. It's even going to have animation in it. It's going to be a very integrated film, if you will.
But not colorization.
Of course not colorization. I hate that word. I can't even believe you brought it up or uttered it in the same room as me. What's going on here?
Well, I sort of knew that you were such a big advocate for preventing colorization of the classic black and white films.
Well, yes, that is true, Ken. I testified in Washington to try to get them to outlaw this criminal process. I saw it as a real threat to my artistic freedom, but unfortunately the only support that I was able to muster up was from Senator Jesse Helms. Apparently he's a real nostalgic good old days fella. I don't know what the deal is.
Now, why is it exactly that you want to make that process illegal? I mean, they don't actually go back and, you know, colorize the original films. They just, you know, do it to like a videotape or something. And you know, color TV stations aren't going to run, you know, a black and white movie unless it is colorized. Now, don't you think it's better to have those films, you know, seen instead of not seen?
I can't believe you would even ask me that, Ken. Of course it's not better to show a colorized film. The directors did them in black and white, not color. Who are we to taint them? Who are we to tint them, if you will?
But, you know, those old directors, they only had black and white film, and, you know, if color was available, they probably would have used it.
I know that, and you know that, but they didn't know that. I mean, the point is that they're changing the original intent. I mean, it's like perverting the Constitution of the United States. You don't mess with that. You have no right to behave like some motion picture version of Oliver North, a dictator with a dictaphone, destroying all that historical documentation by doctoring it up? I mean, what's going on here?
Now, you say if it can't be shown as it originally shown, then you shouldn't show it at all, right?
I think that's what I'm saying, yes.
But, you know, if they show the thing on TV anyway, they're going to cut away 35%, they're going to edit it for time, they're going to cut in commercials, and they're going to even dub it into different languages so they can show it, you know, overseas.
Five rights don't make a wrong. I mean, what is going on here? I come to this college radio station hoping to plug my film and my great records, and instead I get cross-examined by some college anarchist Marxist Leninist or something. I don't believe I'm hearing this.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You brought some records.
What did you think I had in my bag, an AK-47? I mean, I wish I had. Next time I'll be better prepared.
Okay, well, let's just put one on, and we'll see if we can agree on music anyway.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I've got the best collection of the finest music ever put on records, and it's all of clarinet music, which, of course, I'm one of the world's greatest clarinet players. This isn't my words, of course. I'm much too modest for that. It's the words of Leonard Bernstein, the great, great world composer who recently passed on. We were very close. I'm still reeling from the loss. My world is shattered. But nevertheless, he once told me, Ken, that he was sorry that he got involved in the classical music biz because it deprived him of the opportunity to conduct me. But anyway, I entitled this one piece. It's called Ode to Lenny.
Okay, well, here we go with Ode to Lenny. Okay, well, sorry, it looks like we can't agree on music either.
I can't believe I just heard what I think I just heard. That was my 998 record or something. What, you didn't like that? What are you, deaf? Do you have bananas in your ears or something? I mean, if that wasn't great music, then what is?
Well, I thought you'd never ask.